Well, they continue to argue, debate, discuss, do whatever they do up at Stormont, but no white smoke yet. Talks, talks and more talks. But what do the people really think? What does the public really think generally about the political situation? Let me speak to Bill White from Lucid Talk. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
I suppose it's difficult for you guys to really do polls that remain relevant. There's so much change. What did you set out to achieve with this one?
Well, what we normally do, all polling companies do a post-elections poll just after there has been one or two major elections, just to find out what people thought of the results, what they think, what have they changed their mind, what do they think are the issues going to come out of the elections as we move forward. So we did one last week across our Northern Ireland opinion panel, and we got a 2080 sample, again representative of Northern Ireland. A couple of key questions. One of them was, look, do you support the institutions coming back up and working at Stormont? Do you think there should be direct rule? Do you think there should be a period of direct rule with ongoing discussions to get Stormont back up and working again on the executive and the assembly? Or do you prefer pure direct rule, as they say, or do you prefer joint authority with the London and Dublin governments? That came out quite reasonable. Two out of three support getting institutions working up at Stormont, and that's across all communities, both nationalist, Republican and unionist. Some support, increasing support for direct rule slightly among unionists, and increasing support, 36% among nationalist Republican voters, SDLP and Sinn Féin voters, support joint authority. That's up a bit from our last poll. So it's showing that people still support the institutions here getting up and working again, but a little bit of impatience creeping in, Frank. People want to see them working, but they'd like the politicians to get on with it, as it were.
Do you accept that your poll is stymied to some extent since the rabbit was pulled out of the Conservative DUP hat by Arlene Foster?
Well, that's up to that's up to you to debate with other. Did that affect? Does that affect people's views? Should the institutions get up and working again? We did ask the question, about the DUP and Conservative deal. When we took the poll, the DUP Conservative deal was still very much on the table. Everybody expected it was going to happen, so it was there. It was noticeable when we analysed DUP and UUP voters, within the unionist family, that the DUP actually had higher support for direct rule than the UUP voters. So the DUP perhaps thinking, their supporters thinking, well, we've got the power at Westminster, but still support the institutions of Stormont. But, having the DUP sort of with a hand on the steering wheel at Westminster helps also. So they were tending slightly towards more, still pro getting the Stormont institutions back and working, but more of them are swinging over to supporting direct rule. That was noticeable.
Now, people here in Northern Ireland seem to be steadfast. Those who go to the polls seem to be steadfast in relation to who they vote for. But are they becoming more fickle with regards to surveys? Are they prepared to be, I suppose, adamant that they hitch their trailer or wagon to whichever horse is pulling it in the polling station, but whenever they're actually being polled, where it isn't going to matter what they say, are they a bit more flexible?
Well, they can be. Obviously they're very open with their comments. We can get a lot more information than what you do in a ballot station or a polling station. You go in and you put an X or a 1, 2, 3. We ask, what are your reasons behind this? Why do you think direct rule is better, etc.? So we pick up a lot of the comments. So they can be more open, and you get a lot more information. Yes, indeed. They can be more open with us, and you get more information. We did also ask a number of other questions. We asked, actually, we went back to the people who said they were voting Sinn Féin either in the Assembly election or the Westminster election, or obviously both, what they thought of the Sinn Féin abstentionist policy. And we have to say the Sinn Féin leadership have got this spot on. Over 90% of people who said they voted Sinn Féin in the Assembly and Westminster elections as part of our poll said they support the Sinn Féin abstention, the policy at Westminster. So there's very, very strong support there in the base for that Sinn Féin policy, in the Sinn Féin voter base.
Even if there is a suggestion that Sinn Féin being there might be of some benefit to the likes of Jeremy Corbyn.
Yes, indeed. We did ask a follow-on question. That's the point, Frank. We did ask a follow-on question saying, if the Sinn Féin leadership decided it was tactically useful for their objectives, United Ireland, etc., to take their seats at Westminster, would you support that decision? Now, you do expect, you know, the 90% broke down a little bit then. We did get 25 to 30% saying, yes, they would support the Sinn Féin leadership. But it was noticeable that over 50% either wouldn't support it, you know, though they may just go along with it, but there was also about 25 to 30% said, no, we would be fiercely against this. So that suggested the Sinn Féin leadership, yes, they probably could do that, but they would have a, you know, they'd have a difficulty selling that to their voter base. They'd have to have a lot of explaining to do. It would concern a section of their voter base if they did that. Although, yes, there is a section the voter base would go along with that. But looking at it, I would advise the Sinn Féin leadership, they'd have to have a long think before they tried that, Frank.
Is there a suggestion in the way you do your polls that Sinn Féin have the most loyal support? It's very hard to find a Sinn Féin supporter who will question the strategy, who will question the leadership of Gerry Adams, for instance.
Yeah, well, yes, that came out of that particular question. You could see it. Even those who said they would support the Sinn Féin leadership if they did change the policy, a lot of them added comments saying, yes, I'd support it, I'd go along with the leadership, but goodness, I'd want it explained to me. I'd want to know why they were doing this. I would have some concerns. So they are very loyal to the leadership. They're very loyal to the policies that they follow, much more so than other parties. Perhaps on the unionist side, the party that comes closest to that is the DUP. They have a very, very solid, loyal supporter base as well, who do tend to agree with what the leadership usually decides is the best plan to follow. So that's the sort of the sort of opposites of each other in that sense, Frank.
Now, Bill, you have a close eye on it all the time. You're very aware of what's going on. I know it's your opinion. Your job is to seek the opinion of other people. But at this moment in time, I'm going to seek your opinion. We're only a number of hours away from 4 o'clock on Thursday. So how do you read it? Do you think they will deliver an agreement?
Well, Frank, it's obviously we've contacted all the political parties and we pick up things, Frank, yes, as we're doing our polling on various issues. But we ask the political parties for advice and questions. Obviously, it's always useful and nice to bring them along with the projects you're carrying out. So picking those things up just over the last week or so, most of the people inside the various parties have a view that, no, it's not going to happen this week, or it may happen that the announcement that there's going to be an intention of an agreement, and then they're going to try to, as it usually happens in Northern Ireland, kick the can a little bit down the road and look at September, October again. So I'm getting that sort of view back from most of the parties. But having said that, a lot of the people in the parties are, you know, not too close to what's happening with their party leaderships. The party leaderships in the big parties, the DUP and Sinn Féin, seem to be keeping it fairly tight as to exactly what's happening. But the mood music at the moment is not that good for an agreement this week, Frank. I'm only reporting back what I'm picking. I'm sure you're picking that up from your own contacts as well and your own commentators, you know.
Absolutely. That seems to be what is coming across. The other idea from me is Lucid Talk to go out and do a survey, and the main question is, and I'm basing this on the feedback we get on the programme, the main question is, do you think the MLAs should be paid after tomorrow at 4 o'clock? Ask that to the general population and give us some feedback on it. What do you think the reply would be?
It's a very good suggestion, Frank, and indeed perhaps we should have included it this time. The feedback, as I said before, we pick up all the comments, and naturally you pick up an odd comment, people complaining about the salaries. I think at the moment they would tolerate, the public would tolerate, because they support the institutions coming back up and working in Stormont, and that's cross-community, that's across all communities. Even two-thirds of the Sinn Féin voter base support the institutions getting back up and working at Stormont. They will support it, trying it maybe one more time going down to September, October, to see if they can get an agreement then. My feeling would be, though, Frank, if it doesn't work in September, October, or something isn't up and working by September, October, then the public mood would change very, very quickly against the MLAs continuing with their salaries and with the benefits of being an MLA up at Stormont. So I think at the moment they're just about tolerating it, but The politicians need to get on and get an agreement pretty quickly, and certainly before September.
Do you really think they are tolerating it? That's not the feedback I get. I get the sense that the public are absolutely frustrated at the idea of them being paid and not delivering the service that they're being paid to deliver. They highlighted a few MLAs who had actually retired, who had got a payoff, who stood again for election, who got voted in, who are back on the salary roll. And there's still no delivery of service up at Stormont. Now, they're well entitled to retire, to get a payoff, to stand again, to get voted back in. Well entitled to do that. And there are many who are simply MLAs who are getting a salary month in, month out, and the job is not being done. That's the feedback I get here on a regular basis, that they really feel if the trough was taken away from them, they might agree much quicker to get back to work.
Well, yes, no, there is, as I did say, there's a lot of complaints about that, but and my feeling is, and again, Frank, your suggestion is a good one, we have not polled on that particular issue, and maybe we should, you know, we get a representative sample of opinion back as to what Northern Ireland actually thinks. Yes, there is a lot of complaints, there's a lot of frustration. That specific point about people retiring and coming back, there has been a number of complaints about that. I would put it to you, that specific point, a little anomaly in the system, as it were, that maybe should have been, plugged, but the overall thing of the MLAs getting their salary, people are still gritting their teeth. Remember, I did say our poll shows people do want to see the institutions working at Stormont Frank. They have seen the benefit of them, and this is cross-community again, I emphasise. You know, they do want to see, two-thirds want to see it up and working, but they should be warned there's a growing support for direct rule on the unionist side and a growing support for joint authority on the nationalist Republican side. But the overall support is still there for the institutions. But that could fade away fairly quickly, Frank. I think just a lot of people are gritting their teeth saying, let's see if we can get this to work. I don't like this idea of them getting paid and they're doing nothing, but they've got a little bit of time left, I think, the politicians, very little time left, but they have some time there to try to get this to work. But certainly, if there's nothing getting working by September, the public mood could get very fiercely, as I said earlier, very fiercely against the MLAs continuing getting their salaries, etc.
Bill, always makes interesting reading the Lucid Talk polls. You can go to the Lucid Talk website if you want the finer detail. Thanks for speaking to us, Bill. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks, Frank.
That's Bill White, the man in charge. You can let us know what you think. 90-333-105. And if Lucid Talk haven't included that line about, or that question, should the MLAs be paid after 4 o'clock tomorrow? We'll throw it out there. What do you think? How frustrated are you? Going by the texts, the emails, the calls, and all the input that we've had over the past fortnight or so, I've got a sense of what you might be saying. So let me say something in favour of the MLAs. One would be that whenever they withdraw the salary, then we've lost the battle. We're never going to have the institutions up and running again if they finally withdraw the salaries. It will take a lot to get it back up. The other issue, the MLAs aren't necessarily just lying in bed all day. They do other things for their constituents. Now, it may not be the running of the country, which they're paid to do, but they're not bone idle. That has to be pointed out. Hey, Alan's got a point. Good morning, Alan.
All right, Frank, what about you?
I am good, Alan. What's on your mind?
Frank, that boy said there a minute ago, that boy Bill, he says that the public at the minute are just tolerant of them getting their wage. That boy couldn't be any further from the truth. I'm a taxi driver here in Belfast, and I pick up people from all neck of the woods, and everybody is disgusted, and that's on both sides. I've yet to hear a person say, yes, they should still receive their salaries.
I have to agree with what you're saying, Alan, going by the feedback that we get here on the emails, the texts, the Twitter feeds, and whatever. People definitely express frustration at our politicians being paid and not running the country. However, they are doing work. They are representing their constituents. They are involved in being in their offices, in their areas, and they're at the end of a telephone if you needed to contact them to be assisted in some particular dilemma that you're in. And the other point is, if their salaries are withdrawn, if they completely collapse the idea of the government of the country, we're going to hell in a handcart. How are they ever going to stand it up again?
Well, they can't sort it out. They see the issues that they can't sort out that they're sticking on, the likes of people having equal rates and all, marriage and all. Why don't they put it on a ballot paper and let the people in Northern Ireland decide that?
So you want a whole series of different referendi? Would that be
the
right term?
No. They see a few issues there they can't get agreement on. Why don't they put them on a bit of paper and let the people have it to say on?
Yeah, well, that's some form of referendum, but
that's a way around it.
Okay,
so why doesn't Dublin and Britain say, okay, you can't sort it out, you've had your chance, see us, we'll run it together.
Okay, so that's the idea of getting rid of them completely and standing down the 90 salaries and the expense that goes with it.
Look at the money we'll save. Look at the money we'll save.
So no sympathy at all for the MLAs at this present moment in time.
No. And here, it'll be interesting to say, and you've heard it here first, I'm going to say it first in your show, hey, you see this money that their own Ardy Foster's going to get her hands on? Well, the country's going to get... So the first thing they'll do, and I guarantee it now, they'll give themselves a pay raise. You watch it.
Well, they don't have the gift of doing that because that is set independently. But that's how it is seen. That's how it is seen by Alan and people in his taxi. They see politicians as drawing down from the public purse, as being handsomely rewarded for not doing the job we elected them to do. That's a major public relations problem for our politicians. And if they don't realise that, well, then they're not living in the real world. Your opinions are very welcome. 90-333-105. Simple question. If there's no agreement, 4 o'clock tomorrow, should we continue to pay the MLAs? That's one of the questions we're asking this morning. I'd like your opinion on it. And you may come forward and say, absolutely, it's vital. It is essential. It is crucial that we pay them. We're not looking for some sort of, you know, knee-jerk, angry reaction from you simply because you're frustrated with the politicians at the present moment. A balanced analysis, but an honest analysis. Your honest opinion on how you feel about 90 people being paid a salary of £45,000 up to £80,000. How do you feel about them getting that if they're not running the country? It's coming up on 9:25.